Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with the microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the Sensible Football Podcast. This is our first episode of a new year, and it's a new year miracle because I'm joined by Vishal.
Hey guys.
And guess who's back? It's Karan.
Hello.
So I'm not the miracle.
Finally, we have an episode, Karan Vishal.
Yes.
With all... all the people represented, so 2018 is off to a good start. Speaking of 2018 getting off to a good start, that's the issue that we try to tackle today, because we look at which teams came out best from a grueling fixture list during the festive period, which is sort of not over yet, but we generally have an idea how the teams have done. Of course, there's one major fixture still to be played, which we'll talk about towards the end of the podcast, and that is Chelsea versus Arsenal. But before we get there, quick assessment of the teams that did have very packed schedules, Vishal.
Okay.
Beginning with
Manchester
United.
So United clearly came off as the losers in the entire festive period, because they
three draws and a win.
Out of four games, they drew three and won one finally last night. Out of which all three should have been lost from winning positions. All three should have been, you know, put safely into the bank. But United, with continued attracting pressure upon themselves, continued sitting back, and in the Premier League, you are always going to pay for that. And yeah, it showed. And last night, finally, they put up a performance which was very un-United-like for after a long time. This felt like the beginning of the season, where they attacked in the second half. They went out there and they played good football in the second half. But yeah, United definitely big losers, because now they're officially not in second place. Chelsea, they win their game in hand, go back to second place. So they're technically in third place right now. So lost the advantage, lost the whole plot at this point, they've lost the whole plot in terms of their position on the table.
And if you're wondering why we're not referring to Manchester City, that's because they're sort of 15,000 points ahead right now, and there is no real reason why we should even talk about them, because there hasn't really been left anything to talk about.
Correct.
Except for the fact that they dropped 2 points against Crystal Palace. But even that does very little to dent their...
Yeah.
It's more like they just dropped Palace to keep the change.
It's seemingly invincible.
I hope they give a few more change out. Take it.
But we will get back to that later. Karan, your take on the United game last night, especially after what happened at Leicester, or what happened in the game against Leicester, what happened in the game against Burnley, they actually sat back against two teams who have been prolific this Premier League, at least, in terms of the counter. Any difference that you saw yesterday with Everton?
I think the biggest difference was probably in the first half. Again, in many ways, you could feel that, you know, it was, again, you know, it was the same thing all over again. But then in the second half, when the teams came out, there was more initiative, there was more,
ownership.
Kind of ownership that the team actually showed. And within probably, I would say, the first 7 to 8 minutes in the second half, I don't think Everton even came out of their own half, because United were extremely dominant. And the question always has been, you know, why is it that they haven't, you know, deployed such a approach to all their games earlier? And like you mentioned earlier, I mean, prior to yesterday, so they're in fact drawn three games on the trot, and like Vishal mentioned, games which they ideally should have won if they had shown a bit more initiative and a bit more composure, even probably in defence. But I guess the biggest problem now for United is, prior to the festive period, in many ways they were quite comfortably in second place. Now they've completely lost that initiative. And
they're in a dogfight for second, third, fourth.
Pretty much.
Yep.
And there's a risk that, you know, they might, if things continue the way they are, they might even get knocked out of the automatic qualification spot for the Champions League come the end of the season. Simply because now you have teams like Liverpool, who have really put the pedal to the metal and have put in some great performances. Chelsea, in many ways, have kind of managed to, you know, correct a few of the deficiencies. I mean, there's still a lot of deficiencies that they have, but they still managed to, you know, correct a few of those. Playing not to the best of their abilities, they've kind of, like, you know, like Vishal said, practically in second place now. So United have a lot to be concerned about.
All right. And Vishal, where does that leave Jose Mourinho? Because yesterday, like you're saying, it looked like a performance that came organically from the players and not necessarily in terms of instructions from the manager.
So this is my problem, right? My biggest problem with this whole situation, I think Jose Mourinho himself is not seeing the bigger picture, because on paper, like we mentioned, spoke earlier in our earlier episodes, that this is actually a title-winning performance from United so far. They've been really good, they've been churning out results, they've been winning games, but suddenly he started focusing too much on City, he started focusing on all the wrong things, he started complaining again, he started making excuses again, and the players started reflecting their attitude, because the more you say it, it's exactly what is going to happen, right? And the players started reflecting that, because there was no reason for Jose to get into this whole defensive shell that he got into. He should have just continued playing, because technically we are a vastly improved team compared to last year, because last year this time we were 5th and 6th. Here we are number 2. Yes, City have just had an inhuman season, like the odds of this happening again are not very high. So I think Jose just went into this defensive shell because he himself realized that, okay, maybe I'm not going to win the league. So he already started seeking excuses and started blaming everything and everyone around, and that's kind of reflecting in the players.
I think it's standard Jose, you know, with his deflection strategy, you know,
yeah,
when things don't go well.
I was about to say that, does this reflect his standard modus operandi as a manager, because that is what has happened, unfortunately, during his time he broke off from Real Madrid.
Yeah.
And of course, the previous stint with Chelsea.
So I think it's a standard Jose Mourinho template, right? When things are not going his way, he's just looking to blame everything other than himself. He needs to probably, you know, at times face reality and, you know, face facts that he himself is to blame for a lot of the issues that United are under.
There weren't really too many issues. Yes, we got beaten by a much better Manchester City team, but Manchester City is probably going to beat 90% of the teams in Europe right now. That should not be a reflection of how good or bad our season is going tremendously well. Yes, a little patchy, but we were doing really well. We, like Karan said, we were clearly by a distant second place, but prevent and drop 6 points, that should have never
been dropped.
And
now suddenly the gap is...
Exactly, because you're focusing on all the wrong things and after all the wrong issues, because you really didn't have too many issues. Yes, we had injuries, but every other team has it as well. So none of these excuses hold good. It was just a mindset issue, and you could see it in the players, because players suddenly lacked ideas. Players suddenly stopped going forward. And there was a genuine issue from an attitude standpoint, and like you said, the performance yesterday in the second half seemed more organic, where players took ownership, players seemed to come out and say, okay, enough is enough. Pogba came and put in a performance, possibly his best performance in United so far, and it really showed, as in the players wanted to win this game, and it showed in the celebrations, it showed in the way they came out in the second half, and Everton themselves didn't have a clue. So I don't know, if they're just focused on football and winning games, I think this team talent-wise is still the second best team in the country. There is no questioning that, but...
And like you observed earlier, that Sam Allardyce seemed shell-shocked when that happened in the second half.
Exactly.
Which is a clear indication that he wasn't really expecting that.
Exactly. If Jose Mourinho did it, then I'm going to question him more as to why this is not happening. If he actually went out and unleashed the players saying, go out there and play your football, then I'm going to question him for sure, saying, where was his performance against Southampton? Where was his performance against Leicester? Or Burnley, for the matter, where you went 2-0 down at home. So there's a lot of issues that he needs to reflect upon, which are more internal than the club-related. And the frustration seems to be mounting at this point.
All right. And speaking of the clubs who have crept up to United in this chase for second, or that group of second, third, fourth, of course, is Liverpool.
Yep.
Possibly the biggest beneficiaries of this festive fixture list.
Yep.
Because number one, they finished unbeaten.
Yep.
Number two, aside of... a rank amateur and horrendous display against Arsenal, where they should have won the game.
Yes.
That's the understatement of the year, and the year is just beginning.
And they had impressive wins against Leicester City, they had an impressive win at Burnley, which probably was more impressive than the one against Leicester.
Yep.
And of course, there was the 5-0 dismantling of Swansea in the middle. So, quick assessment of Klopp's smart rotation policy. Yeah.
So I read something interesting about how Klopp had apparently planned this rotation 15 weeks in advance, and he phased into this rotation where he had assigned a role for every player in every game. And if you looked at yesterday's game, Salah was not even on the bench. Coutinho was not even on the bench. He actually came out and started, gave Lallana his first start of the season. So that takes a lot of confidence to, you know, bring in a player who's had coming in from a long-term injury. So he's planned it to the T. The players have planned it to the T. And this is the advantage of having the players buy into a system. And you can see that, like, I'm no more surprised when Liverpool win a game 4-0, 5-0, because I really think offensively they are right up there with Manchester City. I won't even say inferior to Manchester City. I would say they're right up there with Manchester City. But yesterday, what came out was the 2-1 victory was a little bit of fight and grit came out against Leicester, and now against Burnley as well, where both could have been points dropped, and more often than not you expect Liverpool to drop those points, but both of them, they came back comfortably.
These kind of points were dropping last season.
Exactly.
Absolutely. I think that's the
literally
biggest thing.
By the dozen.
Exactly. So there seems to be a cohesion in the team. There seems to be clarity in terms of who's doing what and who's supposed to deliver what. And if it goes this way, and like I said, Liverpool have shown the right intention by bringing Van Dijk now, only makes him stronger. Because even if he's a mediocre defender, it's still better than not having a defender at all. So I think they're going to be challenging. This season, I think Europe might be one of their surprises now, because considering where they're going. The Premier League, like you said, the battle for 2-3-4 is wide open right now. But Europe is where I really see Liverpool, you know,
yes,
maybe.
And considering that Van Dijk would also be eligible to play in there, they can completely change the system.
Yes.
They're not.
If they bring in one good central midfielder, like, he doesn't have to be great even. One good central midfielder who can do the dirty work, because Henderson and Chan are just not consistent enough. They're not
consistent
put
in cleaning up those.
Exactly. So if they can bring in that one central midfielder, this is a title winning team. Which title we'll have to wait and watch, but this is a title winning team.
That could be the FA Cup, could be. Okay. And finally, we come down to the other two teams who are locked in the back for that second, third, fourth. The teams from London, Chelsea and Arsenal.
Yeah.
And it's pretty fitting that this festive period set of fixtures will culminate with them taking on each other. That London derby, what's at stake for them?
So, first, individually, I think Chelsea and United are having very similar seasons. Because United started really well, Chelsea started really slow, and now Chelsea seem to be picking up, United seem to be going down. But at the same time, they seem to be dropping these crucial points in between. So they both are having a very hot and cold season, if you know. And because Chelsea suddenly have just beaten Stoke 5-0, but you are not certain that they will come and put away an Arsenal. Because if you remember the Everton game, they struggled at Everton, and your opponents at United have just gone and beaten Everton pretty comfortably, must say. So that's the biggest problem for Chelsea, where even Conte this season has finally discovered the difficulty of the Premier League, because he has to focus on multiple things. And he's also gone into this excuse mode where he's already talking about his exit, saying if you don't buy players, I'm gone. And this, so I didn't expect this approach from Conte as such, because he's really been complaining quite a bit. So Conte, Mourinho, Chelsea, United have been on a similar path, and it's apt that they both are fighting for second place neck and neck right now.
And it does seem contagious, because even Klopp had sort of fallen back onto that.
Yeah.
But then the difference is
Mourinho and Conte have continued to complain, but Klopp has just gone back and, you know, gotten the results. Should have been 12 out of 12 for them, but still they've still had the best, like Vishal has said. I think now it really comes down to, you know, who can actually keep the composure till the end of the season between Conte and Mourinho, because if one of them cracks, I think their teams are going to start dropping further down.
All right, and the last team that we want to talk about then would be Arsenal. What's at stake for Arsenal here?
Not much anymore. I really don't know, because really what's at stake for Arsenal in January is who are they going to hold on to and who are they going to sell. Because they're at the danger of losing two players in summer for free, which is atrocious, because they are two world-class players who are worth hundreds of millions in today's market, and Wenger's actually looking comfortable to lose them for free. So, and I'm not sure, but because Arsenal cannot seem to put a string of results together. They've win one, they lose one, they draw one. They win one, they lose one, they draw one. So, I think Arsenal and Spurs keep ruling them, have pretty much ruled themselves out of this race, because they're not consistent enough. They don't seem to have the class and the composure to see through this hectic schedule.
Is this Arsenal team? So let's talk about the game in question in terms of how it might shape up, even where Arsenal are at home.
I think this is going to be like a Tottenham performance for Arsenal, because Wenger's realized, oh shit, we need a result, because everybody's running away, because Liverpool are suddenly points ahead of us. Well, we were equal on points at one point in time. Burnley and Tottenham have caught up with you, and Tottenham, in fact, if they win the game in hand, go above you. So Arsenal are going to put in a performance this game, but my problem is we don't know what to expect next game. So I don't really expect. I think this they might have a draw or possibly win this game, because Chelsea themselves, I don't know how they'll set up or how they're going to be, but I think Arsenal, I favour Arsenal this game because they need the result.
Alright, so it looks like in the London Derby it's going to be Arsenal, and that's going to make that second, third, fourth even more interesting, at least mathematically, even though teams seem to have different trajectories. We'll see how that shapes up, and we'll of course be bringing you all the updates. We might not have Karan again for the next episode.
That's true.
So Karan is just doing a one episode cameo. But nonetheless, Vishal and I will be back, whether it is deconstructing Manchester United or looking at the other teams. And it, at some point of time, we'll have to address the blue elephant in the room, which is Manchester City.
Yeah.
In times like this, it's good to be a neutral.
Karan clearly has no skin in the game.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's all we have time for this New Year episode of Soccer Sense, which kicks off a series of episodes for 2018, which is a World Cup year, guys.
Yep.
So we'll be bringing you a lot more on those lines
lot
as
less
the season
sleep.
Progresses, and of course there will be a lot less sleep. So let's see how we cope with that.
At least this time the longitudes are more favourable.
Hallelujah.
Slightly. Just about slightly. At least it's not Brazil and the other side of the globe. So yes. Alright, that's all we have time for this week. You can find us on Pocket Cast, on iTunes, or any other podcasting platform that you use. You can find us on Audioboom. Go to our channel, that is Soccer Sense, and let us know how we are doing. You can contact us on Twitter at Sense Soccer. That's it for this week. This is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
Whichever time is you see them on that episode. Otherwise, you'll be on European correspondent duty.
Yes, yes.
Per usual. And Vishal.
See you guys. Pray for your meeting.
Alright, see you guys next week.
Hey Central Ohio, the nationwide Children's Marathon will be taking over the city on October 18th and 19th. COTA riders can expect significant reroutes throughout the city. Operators will be working tirelessly to assist COTA customers. That's October 18th and 19th for the nationwide Children's Marathon. Expect significant reroutes downtown. You can view real-time updates on the transit app or at COTA.com. That's COTA.com. Good luck to all the runners.